When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 1-1 to Judge. The pitch swung on and hit. Deep center field. Trout on the run. Aaron Judge, number 50.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
To save his life, call his wife.
And how we doing, 406, on this celebratory Tuesday? As the New York Mets take care of business, they don't need no stinking second game. They go right out there, lifeless for the first seven innings, being completely shut down by a pitcher now who has just completely dominated them this year. And Schellenbach just completely killing him. Had really no rallies other than a broken ball off of Taylor's bat that rolls back into first. He steals second. They move him over to third. Bader can't come through. Other than that, they do nothing all game long until the eighth inning when they explode for just hit after hit. So many different elements to this game. The Taylor hit to lead off that inning. That knocks Schellenbach out of the game. Then you've got just hit after hit. They pinch hit for Bader with Marte when you thought maybe Winker, the lefty, would be up. And now Winker, we haven't really talked about this, Winker doesn't play in the second game either. I didn't see it, but Fliegelman told me there was some thought that Beatty was around the team. Oh, Gary Keith and Ron were talking about Beatty being around the team a little bit here.
So Gary Keith and Ron were talking about Gary thought Winker must be hurt.
Yeah.
And then I forget which one of the writers tweeted that Beatty was there as part of the celebration.
Okay. So Beatty's around. No Winker. Maybe there's an injury there. Maybe there's a situation there. You'd be surprised. But Marte pinch hits. He comes through the base hit in that inning. He comes through the base hit in the ninth as well to give the opportunity to Lindor to have the two-run home run. But they rally. Nimmo hits the big home run. Iglesias with an enormous hit before that. Just like so many great at-bats, so many moments into this game. We've gone over them here for the last 2 hours. It's just one of the great victories in Mets history. In fact, probably the greatest regular season victory in Mets history. It sends them to the postseason. We've been celebrating all morning, and rightfully so. And eventually, we'll have to turn our sights to this series. We'll have to get, we have limited time. You got to put that behind you. The Mets won, that's yesterday. The Mets have a game in 13 hours. A playoff game in 13 hours. A wild card game against the Milwaukee Brewers, who they haven't played well against this year. I'm not sure how much I put into that, but an enormous day, an enormous victory. One of the wackiest, crazy games you'll ever see. It so much played into it, the hurricane and moving the game to when they did. I mean, yes, I think Major League Baseball bungled it, but let's be honest, it led to a great moment, a moment we'll all remember, a game that none of us will ever forget. And for Met fans, it's as good a victory. And you know, in some ways, slaying the dragon. I mean, the Atlanta Braves end up winning the second game. Both teams celebrate after the doubleheader. Both teams are going to the postseason. The Diamondbacks are out. And I'm just doing a quick search during the break. I was doing it. The Diamondbacks led the league, led Major League Baseball in runs scored. I got to find the last time a team led the, I mean, scoring runs is the name of the game. I got to find a team. When's the last time a team led Major League Baseball in runs scored and didn't make the playoffs? I was down to 2017, still waiting to find the first team who led Major League Baseball in runs scored and didn't make the playoffs. But they're out. Braves and Mets are in. So I don't know if you could say they slayed the dragon. I don't know if you feel like that is now a place where suddenly you feel comfortable playing, but it can't be a place where you blow it every time because they come through down three runs in the eighth, take a 6-3 lead, blow that. Diaz doesn't cover first base on the big play on the base hit down the line by Jared Kelenic. Pete Alonso makes a great play. Diaz is nowhere to be found. And that's just one of, like, so many different things, too. Like, the emotions of this game. Like, when you have that hard hit ground ball and you see Pete make that diving stop, you go, oh! And then slowly, as you see him get up and start to go to first, and you're like, where the hell's Diaz? Where the hell's Diaz? It's the same thing with the Lindor home run. Lindor gets under it. I didn't think that ball was gone. Lindor's reaction tells you he doesn't think it's gone. Gary literally says in the call he got under it. And you're like, oh, man, that was a breaking ball over the middle. He had a chance to really hit that one. And then the camera pans to the outfielder, and Harris is going back. And you're like, wait a minute. I mean, so many different highs and lows and just what an emotional roller coaster of a game. What a great victory. And it leads to an opportunity for the Mets to do a hell of a lot more and to have more great moments and to have more games to talk about and to have more opportunities for Lindor to prove what kind of MVP player he is. So great moment from him. Great moment from Nimmo to get off the deck, who's kind of done nothing here for a while. Great pitching performance from McGill is probably going to get lost. I wouldn't say great, but good enough. 100 pitches, 3 runs against this Brave team in a big moment. He did his job. Diaz bounces back after forcing his way back into the onto the mound in the ninth. They told him he was done after that, but the Mets do take the lead, and he insists on going back out there. The manager shows faith in him. This manager's had this incredible season. This team that's had this incredible season. It's all stamped by a victory yesterday that solidifies this year as one of the great years in Mets history. One of the more fun years. One of the more memorable years. It's got all the side stories to it. It's got the little bit of magic to it. It's got the come-from-behind victories to it. It's got all these incredible one-year signings in the pitching staff. What you thought would be their weaknesses were their strengths. What you thought their strengths would be their weaknesses. Like, it was just a crazy up-and-down year that has culminated in being one of the final teams in the playoffs, a wild card team that starts today at 525. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up? I just pushed the wrong button. I'm sorry. Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stuart?
Yeah, good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Congratulations to the Mets.
Absolutely. They deserve it. An incredible game.
They played well, and Mendy should be considered manager of the year. Definitely.
He's absolutely absolutely in consideration. I think he's going up against his competition. He's done a great job in Milwaukee. So to win that division.
Yeah, Milwaukee did a very good job also.
Yeah.
I mean, but to win in that fashion, oh my God. I mean, it's good to see them in the playoffs, and maybe we'll run into them in the World Series.
Well, listen, you're
whoever.
Your lips to God's ears. I would sign right now for a Subway Series.
Oh, definitely. And you want to know what? The city would go off the charts. I mean, that would be nuts.
Yeah, I think I was a senior in high school for the first Subway Series. So I was, still in my own little world going to school. I mean, I listened to Mike and Chris like everybody did. But I don't feel like I had a great feel for what the city was like. Everyone who talks about it, I remember Mike and Chris being disappointed in the juice it created. I think this one would be with the idea. Now, again, the Yankees had won 3 World Series in the last 4 years heading into that one. Maybe that took out some of the juice. I don't know. Maybe that's a poor perception and the city was electric. I don't remember. I honestly don't remember how it felt with the juice. In my high school, it was big. I mean, but as a high school kid, it was like, the Yankee fans and the Met fans were at odds with each other. But I don't remember the feel of the town as much. I think this one would be freaking crazy. When you consider the Yankees haven't won a championship since 2009, you consider this Met season, the new owner, the GM, this team, Lindor's season, what they've done here, the route they would have to take through the wild card, getting in on the last day of the regular season. They needed an extra day of the regular season to get in. It would be, I think, electric. I think the city would be just absolutely crazy if we get it. But that's no need to talk about that today. We have time for that. Ed in Mohegan. What's up, Ed?
And the hey, Yankees good morning. How you there. Doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
It's 4:00 in the morning and I'm talking to the fan. I mean, how much better can life be?
It depends I mean, it could be really good.
You never know how the call's going to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you say 4 p.m., 4 a.m.?
Yeah. What?
Oh, it could be 4 p.m., right. Yeah.
Who knows? No, I don't know. You know, look,
yeah, well, I didn't get it. Fliegelman made a joke. Yes, if you were talking to me at 4 p.m., life would be better for me. That's for sure.
All right. Well, you know what? We'll see where it goes.
Yes.
You know what? I want to talk about Pete Rose.
Okay.
But before I do, I got to touch on what you said about Evan earlier, because I tell you, you say weird like it's a bad thing. I mean, that's one of the reasons Evan is so great. And I don't know why he put on a Mets bathing suit, but if he did it for the show, if he's thinking that far ahead,
yeah,
that's what I want. That's the kind of guy I want.
That's the kind of guy
to.
You want?
I'll just sleep.
You want a guy who's walking around all day in Met bathing suit underneath his shorts so he could threaten us all with taking his pants off?
I walking around in a bathing suit, but I mean, it's a good story. I mean, it's just okay. Funny. I mean, who knows? It's just interesting. I mean, the guy's a fan.
I get you. I'm having some fun with him.
That's a fan.
I'm having some fun with him. He's a friend of mine.
I mean, are you kidding me? Of course. I know you're not being bitter. No. That's not my point at all. It's just a fun thing. That's all. As far as Pete Rose goes, I mean, it's so Pete to pick the day to go to heaven on probably the most insane game ever, you know, and just take the fanfare. I love Pete Rose, and I always said when he goes, if they attempt to put him in the Hall of Fame, I'm just not watching, because he should have been in there. He's one of the few athletes that everybody knows, even if you don't know the sport. Like, everybody knows Jordan, even if you didn't watch basketball. Pete Rose is like that, or was like that. Mike, I call my mom, because that's what Italians do. We want to be the first one to say that somebody died.
No.
So I call my mom, and she goes, oh, really? She knew right away who Pete Rose was.
Right.
You know, that doesn't happen with a lot, and in all four sports. I mean, can you think of another guy, another athlete that has the same type of effect like that, where you know him, like Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle, Pete Rose, Michael Jordan? You know the guy. He transcends the sport. He's just, you know the name. You might not know his stats.
Right. I mean, yeah. And thanks for the call. I can think of a lot. I can think of Tom Brady. I can think of, I don't know, there's probably a lot of football players. Peyton Manning. I think most people know who Peyton Manning is. Right now, Patrick Mahomes. I think most people know who Aaron Judge is. Shohei Ohtani, for sure. You know, there's a couple. But that doesn't take away from your point. I hear what you're saying. And I do agree with the Hall of Fame thing. And I said this, I forget when it came up. It came up at the beginning of the baseball season because of Ohtani's betting scandal. And that thrusted Pete Rose's situation back into the conversation. That's what I said the same thing. I said the reason why I would put him in, and we'll find out now, unfortunately, because if you haven't heard, Pete Rose did pass away yesterday. If the reason why my vote would be to have put him in is because I felt like on the day he does pass away, that they will put him in postmortem. Like, I just, once he dies, I think they'll put him in. And so for me, it just seems silly where, okay, if you die, you're going to feel, if he passes away, you're going to feel bad, and then you're going to put him in. If that's the case, just put him in now while he can enjoy it. It makes no sense. Now, we'll see. Maybe they won't. Maybe they'll stick to their thought process and they won't put him in. We'll see how many people come to bat for him now. I don't know if the noise gets louder now that he's passed away. I don't know. But the idea, it's always felt like to me, it's going to happen eventually. So if you really feel like it's going to happen eventually, just do it while you can enjoy it. Danny in Belrose. What's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris. What's going on?
Good morning.
So, to touch more on Pete Rose, I mean, the guy, that record is never going to be broken. I feel like no one's ever going to hit 4,000 hits. The guy was such an icon and just great player. And I like that he made it back into baseball and was, you know, was on Sunday Night Baseball, something like that.
He was doing Fox, but I don't think he had done it for a couple of years now. It's been a while.
Yeah, he did that, and I mean, I thought they were going to put him in while he was alive, and obviously they didn't. But I feel like, you know, eventually they're going to put him in, and I know that, you know, betting on baseball is terrible. And I know he never bet against his team, always bet to win, but he definitely belongs in there. Eventually, it's just the right thing to do, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I suppose it is. And he is in the Hall of Fame in aspects. Like, I've been to the Hall of Fame. There is Pete Rose stuff there. He just doesn't have the plaque, which, honestly, is the least interesting thing about the Hall of Fame. You end up looking at all the other stuff more than the plaques. But we all know he's a Hall of Fame caliber player. You know he's the hit king. As someone, as the caller just previously said, everybody knows him. So I don't know how much it diminishes him that he's not in the Hall of Fame. In fact, it doesn't diminish him at all, really, because we all know he's a Hall of Fame caliber player. Same thing with a lot of these guys who haven't got in. Everyone knows Barry Bonds is a Hall of Fame caliber player, whether you think he's a cheat and doesn't belong in or not. Everyone knows Roger Clemens and Alex Rodriguez. These are all guys who are Hall of Fame caliber players. And for whatever reason, and Pete's is different than theirs, they're not in the Hall of Fame. And Pete was the one who signed his own band. He signed the paper. It was his idea to be banned from baseball. And then he lied for all those years. But, I mean, we don't have to rehash that conversation today. Today we could just say one of the greatest baseball players who ever lived unfortunately passed away at 83. And there is circumstances around that, but ultimately, a guy who was as fierce a competitor as we've ever seen. And again, I've never seen him play. Everything I've seen from him is on highlights. But he's someone who epitomized what we love in a ball player, right? As we're yelling about Verdugo and we're yelling about Gleyber Torres and we're unhappy with a lot of the actions of ball players today, this is a guy who went out there every single day, played every single game, was a winner, right? Winner with the Reds. I mean, yeah, sure, the Big Red Machine. Then he goes to Philadelphia, wins there. Like, he was just the epitome of a winner and the epitome of someone who played hard and brought it every single day, including even the All-Star game where he's running over the catcher. Like, he was just that kind of guy. Vinny in Staten Island. What's up, Vinny?
Good morning, Chris. How are
Good
you?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. So, I don't know. I don't care what anybody says. I think Francisco Lindor should really be the MVP. Shohei Ohtani had a great year. Don't get me wrong. But what Lindor did yesterday in the bottom of the inning, and look what the – so if you look at most valuable player from the beginning of the season to the end, Mets were 0-11. They had – you know, they were 11 games under 500. They battled through all year, and the Dodgers stayed where they were. Yes, Ohtani had a significant historic year.
Yeah.
But
here's the only thing I'll say. But when you say, look, they were 11 games under 500, does Lindor had nothing to do with being 11 games under 500?
No, but see, that's the problem.
So did Ohtani get penalized because he was so good from the beginning of the year that he never allowed the team to be 11 games under 500?
But the Dodgers were still in first place. They were still always going to be a very good team. We always thought, like, in the beginning of the year, everybody was riding the Mets off. That's the whole point of the most valuable player is. Because Francisco Lindor played every time. He goes out there and plays a position that's probably better, that's more valuable than a DH. I'm sorry. Oh, a DH is a spot.
Course.
It's a spot. It's a spot. It's a power spot.
No, of course.
But, you know, Ohtani probably will win the MVP.
Yes.
But what Francisco Lindor did yesterday, put that team on his back. He missed 2 weeks because of back spasms.
Yep.
And frankly, he should be like the most valuable player.
Listen, Vinny, he's not. And he's not going to be. He missed time. And no one's going to want to say this because today's the day for celebration. But I'm just going to be honest with you. They won 6 of 7 without him. They brought up Acuna, and they went and beat the Philadelphia Phillies 3 out of 4. Like, so everyone says, oh, you know, they wouldn't be a good team without him. They went on arguably their hottest stretch of the season without him. Now, again, I don't care about the Hall of Fame. And my point on saying all this is neither should you. He's your Hall of Fame. Excuse me, MVP Hall of Fame. I got the Pete Rose conversation in my head. He's the Mets MVP, without question. And that moment will live forever. What do you care if Ohtani beats him out? Forget Ohtani. Forget the National League MVP. Who gives a damn? He's not going to win it. Whether he should or he shouldn't, he's not going to. Ohtani's going to win the MVP. He had 50-plus home runs, stole 50-plus bases. The team's in first place. And you want to look at it? Look at their division. Right? You could argue the Padres are the second best team or third best team behind Philadelphia. All right. Are the Dodgers still a postseason team without Ohtani? Probably. Are they leading their division or are they in a three-game wild card without him? Because that's valuable too. I don't want to argue who's the MVP in the National League because, frankly, I don't care. But Lindor had an incredible season. And that's as clutch a home run. And he comes through with the base hit in the eighth inning too. Like, it wasn't just the home run. He's literally out there struggling with a back injury. He makes the final defensive play of the game. He gets the base hit in the eighth inning. He hit a home run to pad to the lead on Sunday. He gets the base hit in the eighth inning. He hits an incredibly clutch home run in this game to give them the victory. He's been great since the meeting. He's been great since he's hitting leadoff. He's an incredible player. He's had a tremendous year. And he's the Met MVP by a mile. And if there's one person the Met should be thanking right now for where they are, it's without question their shortstop. The guy has been great. We don't have to focus on who should be the MVP and what the DH versus the shortstop means and what the true meaning of the most valuable is and where the Dodgers would be without Ohtani. Those are all side conversations that don't mean anything as this wild card series is about to start today. Like, who cares? He had an incredible year, and I trust him to continue on and have a big game today.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Monday. 432, McMonagle here with you on the Fan. 888-808-1019. Still celebrating this Met victory, turning the page, though, because in about 13 hours, the Mets will take on Pat Murphy and the Milwaukee Brewers. And he's the other guy who's, you know, probably in the running for manager of the year. Mendoza absolutely is. He's had that's another guy. I mean, just a great, he led this team from the 11 games under 500, just a steady, steady guy. During the hot streak, really just had a feel for the game for a while where it just seemed like everything he did turned out to be right. And we're going to get a real taste for him his first time in the postseason coming up here. First time regular season managers did a great job. I mean, the team just had that feel from June on where they were just in steady hands. And obviously Lindor has a lot to do with that as well. But Mendoza just held people accountable, right? Yankee fans have been clamoring for that forever, but from Aaron Boone. But, I mean, from early on, they trade for Hauser. You're not pitching well, you're out of here. Right? They bring in Wendell to start the year, not playing well enough, you're out of here. Lopez, you're conducting yourself in a manner we don't deem worthy of being a Met. Goodbye. And they showed that urgency early on, and we're able to turn the season around, had that meeting. It's on the players, but Mendoza's done a great job. Stearns has done an incredible job. I mean, how many of the guys did he sign with the intention you figured of selling them? Like, let's be honest. Severino, Manaea, these are all guys, J.D. Martinez, all these one-year contracts where if the season went a certain way, I'm sure he would have relished the idea of restocking the farm system, trading away Severino, trading away Manaea, trading away J.D. Martinez, trading away those guys and getting assets. And instead, the team just completely rallied and got to the point where he was adding and reshaping the bullpen, Maton, and putting Budo in the bullpen. They made really smart, shrewd decisions that have led them here. And off of that game, right now you feel about as confident as you can in the Mets heading into a series against the Milwaukee Brewers. Let's go to Bobby in Morris Park. What's up, Bobby?
All right, Big Chris, and before I get to the meat and potatoes, if you average 200 hits a year for 20 years, mm-hmm. Pete Rose is still the hit king.
Yep.
And this past Saturday out in Ann Arbor, Michigan, Michigan State was playing Minnesota college football, and Terrell Timmy shows up, and he's going at it with the Michigan college football fans, and the Michigan fans are screaming at Timmy, and I said,
Richard in Manhattan. What's up, Richard?
Before I get to the Mets,
yes,
Pete Rose is remembered for four things, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Knocking out Ray Fosse in the 70 All-Star game, ending his career.
Yes.
Starting the fight with Buddy Harrelson in the 73 playoffs, which fortunately for the Mets galvanized them and won one of the biggest upsets ever in playoff history. He bet on baseball, and then he lied for it for years, lied to the commissioner until it was fortuitous for him to make money, and then he told
him. Right. Well, I mean, the commissioner knew. It wasn't really lying to the commissioner. They were all well aware.
All right.
He was lying to the public, though, no doubt, writing books.
I'll give you one more quick fact on Rose. He won the Rookie of the Year. Mm-hmm. 63. Great player, right out of the box.
Yeah.
Yet, the team with the worst record in baseball, you know who that was, in 64, their second baseman beat him out for the starting second base position in the 64 All-Star game at Shea Stadium. You know who that was? Ron Hunt on the Mets beat him out in 64 for All-Star.
Fascinating.
Yeah. All right. Now, so, the Mets.
Yes.
They play. If you took out the first week of the season,
yes,
when the Yankees swept Houston and the Mets lost their first five,
mm-hmm.
You know that the Yankees and Mets have the same record.
Since those five games? Yeah. Right. They finished five games better, right? The Mets.
157 games.
Yep.
The Mets and Yankees had the same record.
Yep.
The Mets are playing now three straight in Milwaukee?
Yep.
Oh, that's good.
Hopefully, they're playing at least two. I mean, they're winning. If they win the first two or lose the first two, there won't be a third. But it could be as much as the three straight games in Milwaukee. So we'll see. Severino on the mound tonight. A huge game. We'll see what the lineup looks like against Peralta. I think you have to have Taylor out there. He's been so good for this team. I don't know. They played Bader yesterday. I don't know if they'll have Bader in the lineup. Marte came through with a couple hits. You know, Winker, I don't know if Winker's hurt. If he's someone, you know what the infield is, it's just a matter of the outfield. And I would think you got to play Taylor. And obviously you're going to play Nimmo. So who's that other outfielder? We'll find out. I would think Marte coming off that game. And I would think I guess you could mess around with the DH too. But I would think, you know, J.D. Martinez, you know, was brought here to be a slugger. He's out of his major, major slump. Hasn't done much damage, but he's gotten a couple hits here over the last couple days. I would think he'd probably be your DH, and then we'll see what it looks like. And we'll see who's available. I'd be surprised they go four straight days of Maton. So Maton is probably out. I would think you probably don't have Diaz either. So the Mets, because of this doubleheader, will be a little bit short in the back end of the bullpen. But that's why you have a weapon like Buddha. We talked about it. The guy's able to do multiple innings. So, I mean, if you can get a lead and get to the seventh inning, you might see Buddha. We're talking about Yankee fans and whether or not they should be allowed to root for Met fans. Some Met fans appreciate it from me. Some Met fans don't like it. Most Yankee fans don't like it. So let's get to the authority on what fans should do and what fans are allowed to do. And that's Brett in Long Island. Brett, thank you very much for the call. What's up?
Chris, I could say the word crap. You're full of crap.
Okay.
If the Mets go on this miraculous run,
yes,
and win the World Series,
yes,
it's historic. The Yankees get swept, gone. Mets fans are going to be ranking on Yankee fans all over the place. You're not going to be happy about that. I know you're a diehard Yankee fan. I know you. You're not going to be happy. You're going to be pissed. It's going to be funny.
I'm not going to be real. Okay. Think whatever
you
want.
It hasn't happened.
I will be pissed.
You said it earlier.
You said,
"Oh, I'm not worried about them." You showed your true colors. You said, "I'm not worried about them."
When did I say I'm not worried about them?
When the caller called, you said, "Oh, you know about the sympathy thing." You said, "Really, I'm not worried about them. We don't play them. They haven't done anything. They haven't beat us.
Yes.
If they do that this year,
well, yes,
and the Yankees falter again, you're going to be pissed off, Chris.
No.
You're full of it, man.
I'm not." I don't know. All right. If the Mets beat the Yankees.
How is that possible?
Can you let me?
Brett,
here we go.
How can you say that?
Oh, my God. Are you going to let me say what I'm going to say, or you want to just keep yapping? All right. Ready?
Go ahead.
If the Mets beat the Yankees in the World Series, absolutely, I will be pissed. I'll be mad at this Met team. I won't like them anymore. If they beat the Yankees in the World Series, I'll probably feel different. And once that World Series happens, I'm going to be pulling hard for the Yankees because I desperately want the Yankees to win a championship. No doubt.
You're missing the point about the fans. I don't care about the fans.
You get hung up on this. You're the one who loses friendships over this kind of thing. You're the one who searches out these online groups to rank on people. That's not me.
In your entire life, Chris? In your whole life, you never had animosity toward a fan of another team?
Not a team that doesn't...
In your whole life?
Yeah, well, of course I have, but not enough Met fans where I'm suddenly... Like, again, what do I care with the Met fans thing?
You'll have them this year.
No, great. I hope I do. I honestly do. Well, I mean, no, because I hope the Yankees win. But, I mean, do you think the Mets going on a run? If the Yankees get swept by the Kansas City Royals in the ALDS... Do you think I'll give a damn what the Met fan has to say? I'm going to be calling for the manager to be fired, most likely. We're going to be discussing whether or not Brian Cashman should keep his job. If Juan Soto's going to stay, you think on all that I'm going to be focused on, I don't know, you know, Tommy Lugauer texting me about a Met victory? I don't care. Honestly, I don't care. You think I'll care about the other dad at the bus stop going, how about those Mets? I don't care. You might care about that kind of thing. That might bother you. And I'm not knocking you for that. Do you? If the Mets beat the Yankees in the World Series, it will be tough for me. Any other outcome will not bother me with the Mets. That's it. Believe that of what you will. I mean... The only thing I'll say is sometimes if the Yankees lose, I will root for misery on some level because I'm miserable and I want other people to be miserable. I suppose that's plausible, but I'm telling you on a nightly basis, I'm going to be watching those Met games and I'm not going to be hoping the Mets lose because a fan will call me up or say something on Twitter. People say stuff on Twitter all the time. Just today, I tweeted out, that I'm not even a Mets fan. When Diaz gave up the lead in the eighth inning, I said I'm not even a Yankee fan. I'm sick to my stomach. And someone replied with, it's probably all the Twinkies and Whoppers you had for lunch. I could say anything, and I'm going to get stuff. I have to live with that. I saw somebody calling out Marash on Twitter and saying, stop doing what you're doing and eating like that. You're not going to live till 50, and you're going to leave your children without their father. Like, people just say stuff. Whatever I do, I've learned to grow a thick skin. I don't care. You think I'm going to care that a Met fan is going to be happy in my face? I don't care. It will hurt if they beat me. If they win and then they're literally celebrating the Mets beating the Yankees, yes, that will suck. That I'll give you. But if the Yankees get beaten in the ALDS or the Astros do it to them again in the ALCS, you think I'm going to give a damn what the Mets do? I'm not. I'm going to be pulling for the Mets. And I can promise you this. If the Mets make it to the World Series and play the team that beat the Yankees, I'm going to be pulling for the Mets. Why would I want to see the Astros win another World Series? Why would I want to see the Baltimore Orioles establish themselves as the dominant team in the American League by winning a World Series to this young core group that's not going anywhere? Why would I want any of that? You're nuts. I hate the teams I'm in contention with. I play them as a Yankee fan. We play the Mets 6 times. Yeah, those 6 games, I hope the Yankees win. And it was embarrassing to get our ass kicked by the Mets for 4 days. But that's more about me being pissed at the Yankees than I am about the braggadocious Met fans. I'm sorry, Brett. I'm not like you. I'm not going to lose friendships over it. I'm not going to go search out online group chats to try and get even. Jesse in Queens. How are you, Jesse?
Hey, Chris. What's up, man?
Good. How are you?
Man, these calls, man. Yeah, I'm good, thanks. I just want to say congrats to Stearns and Mendoza. I mean, finally, the Mets have hit upon good people, a good GM and a good coach. And I think they're great, and I think they have a great future with the team, and I'm very happy about that. And since past precedent shows that whenever Showalter leave the team.
How did I not think about that, Jesse?
The next year they win.
The next year they win.
So, you know, I think they might be, you know,
Jesse,
they have,
I am so.
They have that.
You want to. There
have
you go.
That magic.
Thank you. There you go, Pat. Excuse me. There you go, Jesse. And there you go, Mr. Fan, Know Everything Fan. You know me. I'm going to be mad at Fan. There's the first. Jesse is the first Met fan I'm mad at, Brett. That's the first Met fan because he thought of something I cannot believe I haven't thought of already. When Buck Showalter leaves the next year, that team wins the World Series. How did I not say that already? I am so mad at myself. I am, other than Texas, obviously, I'm so mad at myself for not thinking of that. I am so mad. I am so mad at Jesse right now for beating me to that punch. I'm so mad. But it's true. It's true. Joe Torre takes over the Yankees, 96. Not only do they win, they become a dynasty. Leaves the Diamondbacks in 01. They beat the Yankees with, you know, Brendley. I mean, not even really a good manager, let's be honest. Oh! How did I not think of that? I'm so mad. Hold on, I'm going to go stew in the break.
Chargers and the New York Giants have exchanged their draft picks.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Eli Manning and Philip Rivers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, well, it seems to be some sort of overall feeling that I'm too nice or too happy or too pleased with the Mets. So let me throw a little bit of something out there. And let me just say, as much as I am pulling for them and I can't wait for the game today and I'm hoping they win it, I didn't love, after the celebration, going back out on the field and celebrating along with the Atlanta Braves. I didn't love that. I mean, I'm seeing, you know, Lindor out there dapping up with Gio Urshela and I think it was Soler. I could have done without that because I got to be totally honest with you. If the Yankees had that scenario and both the Yankees and the Red Sox clinched, I would not have loved it. I got to be honest. I would have not loved it if Judge was out there in soaked in champagne, you know, dapping it up with Rafael Devers. Would not have loved it. So there you go. For all you people who think, you know, I'm being too kind to the Mets, how about that? They probably should have just stayed in the visitors' clubhouse and not gone out and co-celebrated with the Atlanta Braves. The Atlanta Braves are the enemy. I understand that in this new world of free agency and everyone's got the same agent and whatever the case may be, teams, you know, you're friendly with some of these guys. I get it. But in the moment, just celebrate with your team. You don't have to go, you know, you might have to face them again. So I didn't love that. How about that? We good? We feeling better? Okay, then. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Pat in the Bronx. What's up, Pat?
Good morning, Christopher.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
You sound like you had a little bit of agita there. I'm concerned for you.
No agita. I'm clearing my throat a lot. I got a little bit of a head cold, but no, I'm good. Thank you.
My feeling listening for the last half hour or so, early bird, getting at the end of your show, is that maybe we're confusing optimistic Mets fans with arrogant Mets fans. I don't consider myself arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
I hope for it to go well. I don't know that it will, but I hope for it to go well. And if you want to know the difference between a Yankee fan who supports his friends who are Mets fans, just ask yourself or ask any Yankee fan the question, were you rooting for the Mets in 2015 or 2016? It's within the lifetime since the Yankees won their last World Series.
Yeah. I was rooting for the Mets. I went to a party with at my buddy Steve's house to watch one of the games. I remember watching that game. I remember what's his name hitting the home run. I remember the nonsense around Thor and the throwing the first pitch up and in. Like, I didn't like that Royals team. I was rooting for the Mets. Absolutely rooting for the Mets in that World Series.
And I was absolutely rooting for the Giants when I sat down with my younger brother and watched Eli Manning win his second Super Bowl. And I was absolutely rooting for the Giants.
Absolutely. And why wouldn't a Jet fan root for the Giants to beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl? You got to be out of your mind. Who wants to see Tom Brady win again? And I have to admit, you know, if you've listened to the show and you've heard me at all, you know I'm not the biggest Tom Brady guy. I'm tired of him. It's not so much that I dislike him that much. I do, but that's not the main issue. I just think it's just oversaturation. And it got to the point in the NFL where it felt like, and we're going to get there soon with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, although we'll see if they can make it through all these injuries they're dealing with now. But it just got to the point where it was almost like, oh, the NFL's not the NFL without the Patriots and Tom Brady in the AFC Championship game. I was like, no, they'll be fine. Like, I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of his diet. I'm tired of his shows. I'm tired of his everything. I'm tired of his dumb commercials with, you know, 5-year-old, 6-7-year-old Tom Brady has to show up in a 49ers peewee uniform. Like, I'm tired of it all. But I have to admit, his response to some of the quotes from Baker Mayfield about the team not having fun kind of under Tom Brady, I thought the quotes were actually really good. I thought that moment was pretty funny. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. I thought winning championships were fun. I thought it wasn't fun to have no rings. He's like, I wasn't running a daycare. I just thought it was very Tom Brady. It was very Michael Jordan. It was very the great one, I have to admit. I thought it was pretty good. And this is coming from a guy who's tired of Tom Brady. But I thought the comments, like, I'm not running a daycare here. I wasn't there for fun. I was there to win. I thought it was actually pretty good. But I do despise Tom Brady. And Bernadette from Oceanside. How are we feeling today, Bernadette?
We are feeling very good, Chris.
Very good on this Tuesday morning. I'm feeling great. How are you?
Very good. I'm very happy for the Mets because I am a die-hard Yankee fan like you are. But I grew up in a household with Mets fans between my father and brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was constantly shot down because the Yankees bought their championships. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, George Steinbrenner was like, he should have been on a dartboard in my house.
Right.
because my family hated him so much. Yep.
And now his son's on the dartboard of Yankee fans' house. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that weird?
Well, I hate to tell you whose face you should have on your dartboard, but that's beside the point. The very few people get up and go to work and do what we like to do. I think you're very fortunate. I think you like what you do.
Mm-hmm.
I am very fortunate. I like what I do. I don't like getting up at this hour in the morning to go do what I do. But
that's true.
I absolutely love what I do. And, you know, I feel like I'm a rich person, like a baseball player.
If you do, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but that's the end of the show. If you do what you love, you never work a day in your life, right? That's the old cliche. And maybe that's why I think the job has a lot to do with me enjoying the Mets game. But again, I don't know why it's such a topic of discussion. It has nothing to do with me. It's about the Mets in this playoff game later today. I don't know why we're hung up on Yankee fans, rooting for Mets fans, whatever. I'm excited for the Mets. I'm excited for you guys as Mets fans to enjoy this game. This is a big game. These are big moments. Yesterday was incredible. The up and down nature of yesterday and what it means and what it plays into moving forward and what it gives them an opportunity to do and what Lindor did. It's incredible. Enjoy it. I'll be on with you for a midnight ride at midnight to get back into the Mets. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.